it's John and Casey here from Are You Real? And we've been sleeping on MyPillow now for over a month. And I'm telling you, our sleep has improved drastically. So what are you waiting for? When are you going to jump on board and start experiencing the kind of restorative sleep you need in your life? Are you waiting for a better offer? Well, your wait is over, because if you go to MyPillow.com right now, you can take advantage of the MyPillow 4-pack offer. Right, John?
That's right. You get two premium MyPillows and two to-go anywhere pillows at half off. Just go to MyPillow.com, use my code REAL, and get 50% off. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the 4-pack special, and enter promo code REAL. Or call 1-800-943-4615. But don't forget, you got to use promo code REAL.
Welcome to Are You Real Linked, a journey together toward a deeper, more authentic connection with God and with others. Through teachings of prayer and faith, our common stories of business, relationships, and personal growth will give you the direction you need to truly feel linked with the lost, hopeless, and hurting to help restore your community. Now please welcome your host, Christy Austin.
Hello, City Takers, and welcome to Are You Real Linked? We are excited to have you today joining us as we connect to deeper faith and really learn what city taking looks like. What is a city taker? Well, let me remind you, a city taker is simply taking a city through the art of giving. Of course, it's a paradoxical kingdom that we live in. And so we are learning from many city takers all over our nation and just hearing their heart going on in their cities. And so I'm excited to introduce you today to our special guest. And before I do that, I do want to remind you that you can join us on areyoureal.org and hear from some of our different hosts. Of course, John Fuller puts his podcast out still every Wednesday, and that's Are You Real Purpose? You can get that on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you get your podcasts. So today's show, I want to welcome from Toledo, Ohio, Joe Liggett, and he is with a ministry called Ember. Welcome to the show, Joe. So glad to have you.
Hey, Christy. Thanks so much for having me. It's an honor to be with you.
Awesome. Well, we are so excited to hear your heart. And some of you may know that Toledo is my hometown. And so I got to meet Joe about a year ago. And it was funny because different places I would hang out and the people that, you know, we would associate with, I kept hearing Joe Liggett and what he was doing. And so basically we all just met up for coffee and was like, awesome. What are you guys doing here in the city? And some of the keys that the Lord's given them and the co-laborers he's brought together in that city really have produced such a harvest and such a crop. And so I can't wait for you to hear his heart. So Joe, let's start with this. We know that city taking looks a little bit different for everyone. So for you, what does city taking look like?
Yeah, that's a deep question. I guess if I could go back a little ways, starting Ember this year, it's going to be 10 years ago now. I really had no clue what that looked like, to be honest with you. One thing the Lord allowed me to do was to sort of see his church on a regional level or a city level. You know, when we hear of the church being spoke of in the New Testament, it was mainly spoken on a city level, the church of Galatia, the church of Corinth, the church of Ephesus, and so on. And so early on, the Lord allowed me to see it from that perspective, which is really just, you know, a kingdom perspective. And so I quickly started to understand that this was going to take, unity in the body of Christ. And so really, we set out early on to start to pray and to cry out for unity. You know, understanding that, you know, a region, it's going to take the resources of the church in a region to really see a city one, I believe. So for me, it looks like, number one, it looks like unity in the body of Christ in a region or a city, for sure, because we can't do anything without being in agreement together. And that was the miracle of the outpouring in Acts chapter 2, was that they were all in one accord. They were in agreement. They were in unity. So to me, that's like a huge, major part of the story. And really, too, and we're still in this place, to be honest with you, of praying. You know, I've learned to have patience and look at the bigger picture and not be discouraged when you don't see an immediate response from heaven or a move of God that you've been contending for right away, or even in several years, because it takes time to plow the ground in the spirit realm. You know, when we look at the history of outpourings of the Spirit, even in America or around the world, every single one of them was preceded by a movement of prayer and fasting, and really crying out to God. Even the last one, really, in America, that was a great move of God, the Jesus People movement in the 60s and 70s. You know, Lou Engle, when he was here with us last year, he told this story. He said, you know, that Francis Frangipane, he had been doing research on all of the moves of God, or revivals, that have happened in the past, and how they were all preceded by a prayer movement. And he said, but when he came to the Jesus People movement, he asked God, he said, God, but what about that? Was there a prayer movement? And God said, yes, I answered the prayers of a million mothers that were losing their children to the spirit of the age and the rebellion in the land. So we see that every move of God that's been has always been preceded by, and I believe sustained as well, by a movement of prayer. So that's been the focus. The main part of our focus is really unity and coming together in a movement of prayer. We've got to see some amazing things happen. When we started out, I have to be honest with you, I was really discouraged. I was a lot younger. I'm 40 now. I was 30. And, you know, I used to jokingly say, it's like trying to get people to come together. It's like hitting my head up against a brick wall in this city. There was just nothing. I could see no unity. I could see no churches working together. Maybe there were on some level, but it was nothing noticeable. And now you fast forward to today, and we are seeing a monthly gathering of pastors and leaders that meet in the city every single month at a different church or ministry facility. There's no agenda. There's no sermon. It's just seek God's face, come together, worship, pray, and fellowship together. And so we're starting to see, I believe, the beginnings of a move of God. If that's true, and I believe it is, that there's never been a move of God or revival that's happened, or a city being taken that's happened without a movement of prayer, this has to be. You know, it truly is. I'm preaching to the choir here, but I hope this is encouraging to those that are listening, that this is the blueprint for a revival or a city being won. Is it's in the scripture, and it's 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then we get a response from heaven. But prayer is the thing that has got to happen in order to see true transformation. You know, it's not like God's just going to wave his magic wand and it's just going to happen. I wish it were that easy. So I know that was a long answer, but city taking looks like the main components to me are unity in the church in a region and prayer, number one. So yeah, I hope that wasn't too long of an answer.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love it. I love every bit of it. And it's so interesting because one of the last teaching podcasts that we did was really out of Luke 10. And I believe that Jesus gave us strategic steps for city taking. And it's so interesting because when he sent out the 70 apostles, this is what we've been learning. When he sent out the 70 apostles, he first had them go to houses. Why? To develop a community. Then they went two by two into the city.
Yeah.
And there's no Lone Ranger city takers. Revival is not going to come in a city or a nation through one ministry or one person. And so I love what you're saying. And I've even recognized, I had this crazy revelation one day when I was looking at the word unity and community and went, unity is in the word community. You can't have true community without unity. And so that, I believe, for myself and for many others is one of the greatest challenges. And so I'm wondering, you said 10 years ago, there was virtually no unity in Toledo, but now there is. What practical steps, because I know city takers talk about that all the time. It's so hard to bring pastors together and leaders together. And we try all these different things. What have y'all found that works for you or has worked to bring that unity in the city over 10 years?
Yeah, I would say number one, prayer. You know, the Lord responds to prayer. That's the bottom line. And we've been praying for it, you know, almost and prophesying it, really, you know, even as the word says that God, he speaks things that are not as though they are. And we began to, rather than complain or be discouraged by what we saw, we began to contend for it and to declare it and to petition the Lord for it. So I think number one, prayer, and just on a practical level, honestly, you just used the word community, relationship. The kingdom is about relationship. God is about relationship and family. And so I think that just over the years of meeting with different key people, not necessarily pastors, but, you know, definitely pastors and leaders, but just different key people and dreaming together, dreaming. I think that that realm of in God of dreaming is key too, you know, because it's easy to be discouraged by what we see in the natural realm and think that that's just, that it's hopeless, that this is just the way that it is. But there's a realm in God of dreaming and that place where the impossible becomes possible. And, you know, I think that it's not a coincidence that our state motto in Ohio, which I believe is part of our heritage, is straight out of the Word of God, and that is, with God, all things are possible. So I think that, you know, just community and one-on-one getting together and dreaming with people and encouraging one another and declaring the Word of the Lord over a city, you know, I mean, I think that's huge too. That's part of what we've been doing. You know, we know what the Word says, that it's not God's will that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. Again, in 1 Timothy 2, it says that God wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So we begin to declare that over our city. I do not take lightly the power of life and death that God says is on the tip of our tongue. And, you know, part of the DNA of the ministry of Ember and just in my own personal life has been Proverbs 11:11, which is one of my life verses. And that's, through the blessing of the righteous, through the blessing of God's people, a city is exalted, but through the mouth of the wicked, it's destroyed. And so that was part of it too, is just coming together corporately or individually, one-on-one, and declaring and speaking the heart of God and the Word of God and life over a city. I think that can never be underestimated, the power that there is when God's people begin to declare his heart and his word and prophesy life over a city, you know, prophesying to the dead bones.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's so good. Something I've been thinking about lately is in Acts, when they came together, you know, it was, and they had the Pentecost movement, it was centered around prayer and then unity. They're all in one accord. And so I believe unity is such a key in prayer, because in the church, you know, global church, there's a lot we can disagree on. But if we're coming together in prayer over a city and looking at him, you know, I might not agree with you on something, you might not agree with me on something, but when we're both looking to him, it doesn't matter if we agree on these things or not. We're crying out, looking to him for our city. And so I do, I believe that that prayer is a huge key, if not the key, to unity and revival in a city. Amen. And the kingdom blueprints are only released that way, right?
That's right.
Are you a responsible person who finds yourself growing deeper and deeper in credit card debt and you're not sure how to fix the problem? Then get ready for a toll-free number that will put you on a path to financial recovery. Trinity Debt Management is a nonprofit organization that will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment. Put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest rates by as much as 60%, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands and become debt-free for keeps. It's not a loan. It's a smart way to relieve your stress, meet your obligations, and preserve your self-respect. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Gather up your bills and call this toll-free number for a free, no-obligation debt analysis, 1-800-741-8205. Again, that number, 1-800-741-8205. You don't want to miss this opportunity. Give us a call today.
So how, you said you've been engaged in this for about 10 years now. How did God call you to begin this? It sounds like it was kind of a grassroots thing that he called you to do it and you responded like Isaiah with, "Here I am." Is that right?
That pretty much is. Gosh, it's been a little bit over. It's next month. It'll be 11 years now that my life was really marked in a significant way. July 7th of 07, at a gathering called The Call in Nashville, Tennessee with Lou Engle. There was about 70,000 people, and it was an all-day solemn assembly. And the theme and the heart of it was America turning back to God. And I had honestly, when I got invited to go down there, I didn't know who Lou was, The Call. I didn't know anything. I was brand new, coming out of 10 or 11 years of drug addiction and being living the life of a prodigal. And my life was significantly marked by the Lord that day. And it really propelled me into this season that I'm still in my life. So I came back from that, you know, just with just a true fire burning in my heart. But I still didn't know. You know, I was just so green and didn't really know anything. So I was invited to be just to kind of come alongside this college group at the time. And they asked me to be one of the leaders. And I knew that the Lord wanted me to be a part of it, even though it was way not what I was in agreement with necessarily. It was very watered down and there was no fire and no glory on it. But I knew that the Lord wanted me to stay. And out of that group was birthed Ember. And it was kind of one of those things where I never set out to be a preacher or a leader. And it was never a dream in my heart or a desire, to be honest with you. I'm a bit of an introverted. I'm very introverted. And so this was totally out of my comfort zone. But it was kind of one of those things, like in the mouth of two or three witnesses, the truth be established kind of a thing. This pastor who we were approaching to be the leader of this group, he one night just felt the Lord strongly telling him that it was supposed to be me. And there were several other people that were just standing there at that moment that were like, yes. So I kind of stepped into it like that, just a little bit, you know, scared. I didn't really know what I was doing. And so to be honest with you, the first few years, or several years at least, two or three, I really had no clue what the vision of Ember was. Where we were going, I just knew we were gathering to seek God's face and to pray and to worship. And out of that, the vision was birthed and, you know, the revelation came and understanding of kind of where we were going and what we were doing. But it was definitely a grassroots type thing, and it still is in some ways. It's not, I tried to never lose that. So we've kind of just tried to stay in that same place of, you know, keeping our hands off of it and letting the Lord breathe upon it. And so we're trying to continue to do that after all these years.
That's awesome. I love grassroots stuff because not always, but often it's so led by the Holy Spirit. And you know, he's doing such a new thing in our nation. And so I love that you're just, you know, kind of like Paul, really, you know, you follow him and others follow you. And that's the perfect combo. Why? Because it keeps us in that desperate place of, what do you want me to do next? You know, there's no formula pattern there. This, you know, this is uncharted waters, basically.
Yes. And it's definitely not boring. And I like that. You know, it's extremely exciting when you truly fully yield to Holy Spirit and are led by the Lord. It really is. It's not boring. And I tell people that all the time. Like, if you're bored, you've tasted religion. You have definitely not tasted Jesus, because this life is, the last thing it is boring.
Yes. Isn't that so funny when people say Christianity is boring? You know, you can't drink, you can't do this, you can't do that. I'm like, yeah, that's totally not my experience. It's a constant adventure. I'm just trying to keep up, you know?
Yes.
It's awesome.
I love it.
Can you think of a story of someone that's been deeply impacted by Ember or what y'all are doing there in Toledo?
Oh yeah. You know, I've been the one over the years, probably more than anyone, that's been blessed to be able to hear so many testimonies. I can think of so many. A guy that I just was with yesterday, you know, drug addict for 20 plus years, had been in rehab 17 times, wrecked over 20 cars, complete and total disaster. He's a singer of a reggae band. He's got long dreadlocks, like covered in tattoos, and just completely addicted to drugs and sex. And he came to Ember one night, and you know, this was, I don't think I've ever told this story in public, but I'm not the kind of person that thinks everything is a spiritual attack, but I my ears perked up when he told me what happened. And the first night, this is when we happened to be meeting in an old theater at the time. It was a 100-year-old building. And it had those old heater registers along the wall in the back. And the first night he was ever there, he was too scared to even come up by where anybody was. He just stayed in the back and he sat on that heater register, and a brown recluse spider crawled out and bit him in his hand. And he almost killed him. And he was in the hospital for 3 weeks, but he kept coming back, and he really truly encountered the Lord for the first time in his life. And we were able to baptize him, and he has been drug and alcohol free for years now. He has his own business. Another just real quick one. This guy, he had been coming around Ember for a few months, and this was about 6 years ago. And every Tuesday night for like 3 or 4 weeks, he'd be like, "Hey, I really want to talk to you. I want to tell you my story." And I was always really busy. And I finally got to sit down with him. He told me what had happened and how he'd come to the Lord. He had not grown up churched at all, completely unchurched. And he had had a girlfriend from the time he was in elementary school, and she broke up with him. And one night he was going to kill himself, and he was standing in front of the mirror holding a knife up to his throat and just crying, and he was a total wreck. And he chickened out. He couldn't do it that way. So he decided he was going to get in his car and kill himself. And he was driving down Lasky Road over 100 miles an hour. And at the time, Ember was on Lasky Road. And in his words, he said, "Something told me to turn in this driveway." So he pulls in his drive and he stumbles into Ember for the first time and comes in and sits down, and I'm preaching. And he said, "It was like everything you were saying was right for me." And he gave his life to the Lord. And he's married today. He's got 2 children. I think they've adopted 2, and he's serving the Lord and walking with the Lord.
Wow, that's so awesome. I love stories like that, because sometimes I feel like in cities, when we begin these prayer ministries, we just watch people go from church to church to church, you know? And I'm like, man, I'm not interested in that. Like, you know, it's time to, you know, gather in the nets, you know, the nets of fish overflowing. And so I love that. I love what a powerful testimony of how God draws people, and amazing. So for you, let me ask this. Of course, this is called Are You Real? What's the most difficult piece of what you do?
You know, that's a good question. I probably should have thought about that one a little bit more. You know, I guess probably just dealing with the naysayers from time to time. It's not really that difficult. Honestly, I'm pretty thankful. You know, we really don't truly know. I don't believe most of us anyways in America know what real true persecution is. So I'm not going to even try to pretend like I go through terrible persecution. But, you know, it's been a bit discouraging over the years when you're dreaming for a city to, you know, get some of the backlash from people that claim to be believers. And what I mean by that is we, you know, here's another testimony of Ember. One night at an Ember, just through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, a prayer came forth one night that God would save the 500,000 in Toledo, which is Metro Toledo is roughly around 500,000. And it was really just birthed out of, you know, a prayer of faith and dreaming with God, looking back at, just for example, somebody like Charles Finney, who is buried about an hour and a half away from here. And the stories are, and they're recorded in books that, you know, when he would leave a region, they would call that city or area a burnt region because everyone that could be saved was saved. Taverns were shut down and houses of ill repute and jails were emptied. And they would call those places a burnt region. And, you know, if we're called to pray according to God's will, and the word of the Lord says that he is not willing that any would perish, but all would come to repentance, that means that it is his will that a city would be saved. And, you know, the flesh wants to tell us that's impossible. Look at all of the crime and the sex trafficking and the heroin overdoses and the godlessness. And can a city really turn and be saved? But I'm here to remind you that are listening today that Nineveh stands as a witness that a city can be saved and can repent and turn to the Lord. Mm. I'm getting emotional today.
That's beautiful.
So I guess just dealing with the criticism and the naysayers sometimes can be a little bit demotivating, but that's, if that's as bad as it is, that's really not that bad at all. Mm. So, you know, I guess I would say that I've got pretty thick skin, so it doesn't really get to me a whole lot. The personal attacks and stuff like that, I've always been able to deal with fairly well, because I think, like, if you truly are doing, quote, ministry for the right reason, which is out of an overflow of love in your heart for the Lord and for people, you can't, and you stay filled, you can't get burnout. You can't, if you don't live by the praise of men, you can't die by their criticism. And I know you've heard that phrase before, but that is the truth. So it's not that hard, but, you know, it would be better, honestly, if the church in this region actually had faith to believe God for what seems to be impossible in the natural realm, rather than be critical, because we can't really truly take a city if we don't believe that it's possible.
Yes. And, you know, something you said, I feel like as the church globally, sometimes we forget we're on the same team, you know? And so it's like, you know, why are we attacking each other? We're all on the same team. We're trying to advance his kingdom and share the good news, you know, so simply put. And sometimes we just get so hooked into that. And I'm with you, you know, none of us are Isaiah being sawed into or John being boiled. You know, we have it so amazing in America. And I think the older you get, maybe that comes with maturity, or maybe, I don't know what that is, but you know, when those comments come, what would take you days to get over, you're able to get over more quickly. And I think when you're an encourager, discouragement, the opposite always comes against you. So discouragement often comes.
Yeah, that's so true.
For you, what's been the key to accomplish your mission there in Toledo and to really persevere and continue plowing for 10 years? What do you believe that is?
Faithfulness. He who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for service in the kingdom of God. That's what our Lord said, and that has been something that stuck with me. It, just faithfulness through every season of the soul personally, through every ebb and flow of ministry, you know, through all of the attack and different things, just faithfulness. And sometimes I've had to be reminded, you know, just about 2 weeks ago, I got a message from a missionary who he and his wife have been a missionary in Trinidad for the past 8 years. And they happened to come to an Ember a few weeks ago or a couple months ago. And he sent me a message just wanting to thank me and encourage me. And, you know, the thing that stuck out to me the most is he said, sometimes we're looking for the more of God, what he wants to do next. But sometimes the more he's looking for is just more of the same. Faithfulness. So that's been the key. I don't feel that we've accomplished our mission yet. We're working on it, and we're seeing fruit every year. And we're going to continue to move forward. But faithfulness, I think, is ultimately the key, because again, I mean, we see the principle of the farmer, you know, sowing and reaping in the scripture, and how it doesn't happen overnight. And particularly this generation that's alive today, I've heard them called the microwave generation. We want everything's at our fingertips, and we want it all now. And you know, wisdom will teach you that it doesn't work that way, and you have to be persistent. There's that picture in Luke 18 of the widow and the unjust judge and her persistence and you know, patience. And so I think those are kind of the key things that have kept me going through every season that's came in the past 10 years, which have been many, is faithfulness. Even when I didn't feel like doing it or showing up, you know, faithfulness. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I hope that's a good answer. That feels like the right thing.
I think that's an awesome reminder, because I was reminded even this week that the fruits of the Spirit, which you're mentioning, faith, faithfulness, they're not feelings. You know what I mean? They're not even peace. I was preaching on peace, and, you know, it's not like a day spa type, you know, it's not the feeling. And so often it's just when you're collecting the harvest, it's just the day in, day out of tilling and watering and all of those things, weeding. So I love that, you know, it's not the next emotional high. Just keep doing what you're doing, because perseverance produces a crop. And so I love that. I think that's excellent advice for other city takers. I know we're all in different places and seasons, and some of us are just beginning. And so I love that. Just keep doing what you're doing. How can we connect with you, Joe? Do you have a website or somewhere we can connect with you?
So as of now, just basically Facebook, Ember Toledo on Facebook is the main way. Or just my personal Facebook. You know, I've not felt released, and I don't know if, I'll just say, I haven't really felt released by the Lord to promote any kind of personal ministry or website at this point. I still feel like I am in a wilderness season of preparation, where the Lord has not really released me on the scale that I know is coming. So I don't know, that's a long kind of rabbit trail there, but I don't have a website. We're just kind of sticking with the Facebook page right now.
Good. Well, know the times and seasons. And so I love that you know that, rather than drying up in the wilderness, you're hanging on to, you know, the promised land that's coming. That's so good.
Amen.
Awesome. Well, can I pray with you before we go?
I would love that.
Sound good? Father, I thank you so much for Joe, and I thank you for the work that he's doing in Toledo. I thank you, God, for his faith to believe for all 500,000. And God, we link arms with them. That's what this show is all about, is getting linked with the Holy Spirit and getting linked together, because one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. And so, God, there's no distance in the spirit. So we link with him and we believe with him, God. I pray for alignment for the assignment. I see that he has a similar anointing to the sons of Zebedee, or the sons of thunder, that when they walked, that the earth shook. And so he has strong apostolic and even evangelist anointing. And so, God, I pray, Father, for the stewarding of that increase, that there's a stewarding. Yes, you want to enlarge his tent pegs, but Lord, the stewarding and the wisdom and the preparation that you're doing right now in this season for when the tent pegs are moved. And so, God, I pray over him. I pray that you would be his front and his rear guard. I pray that everything would fall away, God, that is not of you. Nothing would weigh him down. And that, God, your glory and your light would be so prevalent that as he's literally out of Isaiah 60, that he spends that time with you, and as he stands, he shines your glory and light in the city. I thank you for the multiplication that's coming. And I pray for the more, the greater things. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. All right. You're welcome. Thank you so much for coming. And we would love to check in with you in several months and just see what God's doing in Toledo and in your life as a city taker. And so I want to remind our listeners again, areyoureal.org. You can check out our different hosts. We have Are You Real Fitness with Casey Fuller every other week. Check out that show. Lots of good information there. Rest assured, friends, until we meet again, to rest in his love, dance with great joy, and aspire to go higher each day. Thanks for checking in. We'll see you next week.
We'd like to thank you for joining us on this episode of Are You Real Linked, and encourage you to visit areyoureal.org for more resources based on today's episode, as well as links to more Christian podcasts in our network and the inspiration to help you enkindle everyone around you. God bless and good day.